Father, as we come to you tonight as a family, thank you for giving us another opportunity to gather in your name. You say, well, there are two or three of us, you are gathered. You are here. Two or three gather in your name. You're here among us, God. And so we receive your presence. We appreciate your presence. We want your presence. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us into the supernatural. So I yield to you tonight. God, thank you for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, making it possible that we can come together in his name. And we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews 7th chapter. Apostle been dealing with maturity on Wednesday nights in maturity class. And so tonight, I want to talk about the soul and how important a role it plays in your maturity. Your soul is in a unique position. It is the only part of you that can delve into the supernatural and the natural. It's the only part of you that can delve into both of them. I'm gonna make this statement, and I'm gonna make this statement to you. And when I make this statement, it's going to change the way you see your soul and how important it is to protect your soul. All right. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to come back to Romans 7. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, very familiar scripture. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the asunder, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. So according to this particular scripture, the soul and the spirit are very closely related. The only thing separating them is the word of God. That's the only thing that can divide them, is the word of God. It says, and of the joints and marrows, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, your mind or your soul is your spirit's eyes into the natural. Yes, sir. See what I'm saying? And your spirit is your soul eyes into the supernatural. Yes, sir. So that's why they're so closely related. Because one gives it. The mind gives the spirit a chance to see into the natural. And the spirit gives your mind a chance to see into the supernatural. So that's why they have to be closer. Why do you think Satan attacks your mind? Why do you think he attacks you with thoughts? He attacks with thoughts because if he can get us in our thought process, then he can sever the mind from the spirit. If he can sever the mind and get it disconnected from the spirit, then we can be born again and be just like a sinner. The only difference is we going to heaven, they not. Because the purpose of your soul is to give your spirit expression in the natural. So your soul has to be well guarded. See, God made us in his image, all right? Genesis 1:26, all right? When God made us in his image, what that's really meaning is God made us, and we know this, God made us to function like he functions. But where we get it twisted at is we think we can function like him without direction from him. All right. We see an example of this in Genesis with Adam and Eve. You know, the most powerful thing that God has given us, the most powerful thing that God has given us is our will. I don't care. Look, your will is the last destination before you make a decision. Your will is the last destiny. All information can come, or you can get all the information you want. You can receive all the stimuli you want from the outside or whatever. But your mind, when you come to your will, that is where you're going to make the decision. You know, that apple pie that you said you wasn't going to eat. I mean, you're not going to eat it until you see it. When you see it, then something begins to affect your will. And then you say, well, maybe I can just eat it this one time. And you make your decision based on your will. Are you seeing this? So our will is the only thing that God won't mess with. And the reason why God won't mess with your will is because if he messes with your will, then you become a puppet. If he messes with your will, then that means you're not making decisions unhindered or decisions uninfluenced by you. If you have to be able to make decisions for yourself on behalf of God, you have to be able to get to that point. See, a person who cannot do that is immature. So this is why the mind and the spirit are so closely related. God made us in his image so that we can be filled with him in this earth realm, in the natural, and we can be an expression of him. Maturity comes when you begin to operate kingdom-mindedly rather than world-mindedly. All right? That's where maturity comes in. And see, the will is the only part, that God won't zap your will to make you do nothing. Satan always trying to affect your will. He's always trying to get you to make a decision that's contrary to what God wants. So when you have to develop your will, if you don't develop your will, you won't be able to mature. Now, throughout the gospel, go to Matthew's. And I'm still working on Romans. We'll come to Romans. Go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Watch this. Jesus kept saying something in the gospels. Matthew's the 13th chapter. Look at verse 9, Matthew 13, verse 9. Jesus got through telling the parable of the sower, and he got to verse 9. He said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a statement of maturity. That's a statement of maturity because Jesus said, watch this. The disciples really didn't understand what Jesus was saying at the time. Because Jesus had to go further to explain it to them. And that's where maturity, this is the whole issue about maturity. Maturity in the kingdom is not being able to grasp everything. Maturity in the kingdom is staying around long enough until you grasp it. Stand around the word long enough until you grasp what's being said. That's maturity. Staying around long enough till you can hear what's really being said to you. Amen. Because go to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Still working. I'm still going to come back to Romans. I'm going to come back. Go to Hebrews, 5th chapter. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those, watch this, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, Apostle Paul talking about when you get to maturity, your senses begin to discern between good and evil. Watch. Every scripture in the Bible has two classifications. Either it could be milk for you, or it could be meat for you. Now, the Bible or the Word of God is the only text that can be written that can put out two. So it's based on your maturity level. So we can go to any, you can pick any scripture you want. Out of that scripture can come milk, or that scripture can come meat. And it's based on your maturity level. And your maturity level is, how long am I willing to stay with it? How long am I willing to stay with it until I grab it? Because instructions from God, Brother Hagin said something years ago. I'll never forget, we were sitting in a meeting. Brother Hagin said something years ago. He said, most ministers never exit into the out of their first phase of ministry. He said some ministers go their whole lifetime and never leave their first phase of ministry. I can say that some people live a whole lifetime and never leave the first phase of life that God had planned for them. Do you know there's other places God wants you to go? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts. That's plural. Thoughts that I think of you. Not of evil, right? To give you an expected end. There's a place God expects us to be. He expects us to be, but if we can't access his thoughts, you won't know how to get there. You're not going to access God's thoughts without giving yourself a chance to mature. You know, your will. When your body wants to do this, not go to Romans. When your body wants to do this, you say, no, we're going to do this. When your body say, I want to watch Gunsmoke, you say, no, I'm going to meditate. Or should I say Scandal? nothing wrong with TV, but you gotta keep it in this place. Romans, watch this, Romans. The seventh chapter. Now watch what the Apostle Paul says, which I think is because we have downplayed the soul so much that we forget what Paul said. Paul, watch what Paul said in this 23rd verse. Well, let's start at the verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now the inward man, we immediately think that's just talking about our spirit. But Paul goes further because he got colon there. He goes further and say, but I see another law. I see another law in my members, meaning my body, warring against the law of my mind. Now, if I ain't never seen two people on the same side fighting a war against each other. So that means the law that your members, your body and your mind must be at odds. So when he says, I delight myself in the law of God on the inward man, it must mean I delight myself on the inside of my inward, the word of God in the inward man. That means my mind and my spirit. Because if that was the case, he couldn't go to the next verse and say that my members, the law of my members are warring against the law of my mind. So that means that it's my will that I have to override the law of my body. Are you seeing this? So I have to train my will. If I don't train my will, I won't mature. I have to train my will that the word of God is the most important thing to me. I have to train my will. How do I train my will? Go with me to Philippians 2. I'll show you something real quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, it's not. This is not something that's going to automatically happen. What's going to happen automatically is the world system. That's going to automatically happen. It's going to automatically happen for you to just want to do everything opposite of the word of God. It's automatic. But when it becomes automatic for you to follow after God, that's maturity. See, when it's automatic. See, if you have struggles, spending time with God, you got some growing to do. You see, because after a while, it shouldn't be a struggle to spend time with God. So if I'm still having struggles spending time with God, that means that I need to take more time to be trained. Are y'all seeing this? Philippians 2. Let me get to it. Philippians 2. This is why the will is important. The will is important because it is the last place that direction from God goes before it becomes executed. The will is the last place that direction from God stops before it manifests into the natural. Because if I don't do what God is asking me to do, it doesn't get done. So if my will is weak, that means I can turn God down. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to what? And to do of his good pleasure. True maturity is when you're willing to sacrifice your will for the will of God. When you sacrifice your will for the will of God, in other words, your will, when I say sacrifice, I mean you, your will and the will of God become one. Another word for will is desire. When God's desire and your desire become one, then his kingdom can be executed in the natural realm. Are you seeing this? So if my will is not intact, if my will is not intact, if God's instructions can come up right to that point where it's time to execution, and if my will is weak, I back out. Are you seeing this? So how do I train my will? Matthew's 11. Matthew's 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what?
Rest.
Unto your what?
Soul.
Not your spirit.
Soul.
Your soul. All right, watch this. Watch what Jesus says. Verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and what?
Learn
of me. So now, if Jesus is telling me to take the yoke, take his yoke, and learn of him, that means the yoke that I'm supposed to take on is his word. All right? Most of us, let's think about it for those who don't know. Let's think about what a yoke is. A yoke is what's put on oxen or horses to guide them. All right, that's what, when they're plowing rows, they'll put a yoke on an oxen so that you can have a rope and a leather strap connected to it to whether to hold them back, make them go left, make them go right. Now, notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, all those that, you're bogged down, you're heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I'm going to give you rest. He said, take my yoke, take my word, and learn of me, and you go, watch what he says, you're going to find what?
Rest
for your what?
Soul.
So other words, if I take the word of God, if I take the word of God and begin to learn of Jesus, that means my soul is going to have rest from struggling whether to do this or do that. See, when I take the word, that's how you train your will. You train your will through repetition of spending time with God. When you, Abraham did this. It's not no different. Abraham did this. Abraham went from hearing, because see, hearing the voice of God is not good enough. Abraham heard the voice of God. Leave your mother and leave your father. And what he said, go to a land that I will show thee. Right? Before he can stay long enough so that God can show him, a famine hit and he left for Egypt. In Egypt, he almost lost his family. So hearing the voice of God is not good enough. I got to be able in a position that when I hear the voice of God, I'm able to act on the voice of God. That comes to my will. So I can't wait to hear the voice of God to prepare myself to do what God asked me to do. I can't wait till God start talking to be prepared. I have to continually prepare myself for when God talks. So whenever God talks, I'm ready to move. That's maturity. I take the yoke of the word. And I put that yoke on my shoulders. And there's nothing else that can take me to the left or to the right but his word. Nothing can stop me but his word. Nothing can push me but his word. See, when I spend time with God, I meditate and I read the word of God and I spend time with the word of God, I'm strengthening my will. Are y'all seeing this? So therefore, I can now with my senses begin to discern between right and wrong. Even to a point to be like Apostle Paul, I can begin to discern, begin to discern spirits with my senses. If you remember, he went many days before he cast that spirit. Why? Because he said, let me see how she acted. Let me see her behavior. Once he took time to realize her behavior, he was able to act. Why? Because his will, he's mature. He's acting from a yoke that's been put on him by God. Nothing else can affect his mentality. Nothing else can affect what he said, what he thinks. Abraham got to that point because we see in Romans where it say Abraham became what? Fully persuaded. Let me show you how fully persuaded Abraham became. Abraham became so fully persuaded that God told him to go sacrifice his son. And he ain't back down. Do you know how fully persuaded you got to be? All of us with children, we know you got fully persuaded, God. kind, watch this. What kind of will did Abraham have? That come from Abraham spending time with God. How did Abraham spend time with God? Well, what Abraham did, he built altars. Every time God did something, he'll build an altar. So being nomadic, he would build an altar. He had herds of cattle and all kind of livestock. So they would graze around a certain geographical area. And every time he went to that geographical area, he went to a certain spot he went to before to graze again. There would be an altar there. It would remind him, God did this for you. So he was training his will that whatever God asked me to do. See, that's why. That's why you can't wait until God starts talking to be prepared. You can't wait until when you going to use me? God said, when you spend time with me. When you spend time with me when ain't nobody seeing. When you spend time with me when ain't nobody paying attention. And God says, I can put my will in you. So your will becomes a point where it ain't no question what God can give you world-changing instructions, because you're going to execute them. See, God had no problem letting Jesus being born or going down the cross. No problem with it at all. He trusted Jesus to the infinite. Jesus even got to a point, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for reminding me about this. Go to Matthew, the sixth chapter, by far my favorite chapter in the Bible. Because in strengthening the will and spending time with God, we have to see how to master praying. The master prayer was very simple. His prayer is very simple, and it was to the point. And I noticed he didn't ask nothing for himself in that prayer. And he went further down into the chapter and explained why in the ninth verse he didn't ask nothing for himself. The 31st verse explains why the ninth through the 11th verse you didn't see Jesus ask for nothing for himself. That's why your will is so important. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Watch this. Look at verse, and I love how Jesus said this. Verse 9, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. After this manner. You might not have to say, you might not say these exact words, but you need to be in this frame of mind when you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What? What? Thy will be done. Not my will. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. So that means there has to be a coming together of wills. There has to be a coming together of God wanting what I want and I want what God wants. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me all my instructions, God. What are we going to do today, God? See, y'all need to get out. Sometimes y'all need to get out the biblical. Y'all need to get out of biblical language, because biblical language carries the connotation of religion. You got to remember, the Bible is written in Greek and Hebrew. They translated a bunch of times. King James translated into English where we can read it. And he translated the best way he can. But all it's saying is, God, what are we gonna do today? God, what are we going to do today? What you want to do today? What's on your mind, God? How are we going? God, what you want to do today? Then Jesus goes further and begins to say, watch what he begins to say. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's so your mind don't get clogged up with other people. I can't afford to get your mind clogged up with other people because I need your will focused on my will. So I can't have you at odds with everybody else when I'm trying to get your attention. You want me to handle this for you, and I want you to do this for me. We don't have the same will. Go further down. Watch this. Go further down. 25. Verse 25. Therefore, I said to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet what your body, yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and a body in raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lizards of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Watch this now. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? It ain't saying you can't choose what you want to eat. It's just saying, don't, that's just your focus. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to eat tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to eat. I don't know what I'm eating. Mark the 11th chapter gives us an excellent example of what happens when our will is on point for God. Jesus was going from one place to another. He just got through taking care of business in one city, going to another. On that path, he saw a tree afar off, having leaves on it. It was a fig tree, right? We know the story. If you read in the 11th chapter of Mark, you see that when he got to it, he saw the leaves, but the tree didn't have no figs on it. And the Bible specifically said that the tree had leaves but no figs because the time of figs was not yet. So the question is, why did this tree have leaves? Because a tree with leaves is supposed to have fruit. So why did this tree have leaves out of season? One simple fact, Jesus was hungry. God knew he was coming that direction. But Jesus was so focused on what God wanted, Jesus ain't had time to figure out where he's going to get his next meal from. So on his way, going to his next assignment for God, God spoke to this tree to provide for Jesus. Watch what happened. The tree denied Jesus his rights. And that's what gave Jesus the right and authority to curse that tree. So Jesus didn't have to waste an iota of mental capacity on this tree. What I'm trying to tell you, the issues that you have in your life are only expanding because you are putting focus on it. That's the only reason why they are expanding. That's the only reason why they're not going nowhere. That's the only reason why things ain't changing, is because, watch this. When you go to, here's the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not for you to get God to change the universe based on your decisions. The purpose of prayer is for you to change your decisions based on God's universe. Yeah. Reading a book, had this little boy came home from school. He took a test. He came home and said, Dad, we got to pray. I need you to pray with me that Detroit becomes the capital of Vermont. Dad was like, son, what are we going to pray about this for? Why you want me to pray? Dad, we got to pray. We got to come to agreement. He said, son, it don't make no sense to me. Why you want to do that? He said, Dad, look, that's what I put on my test today. So now me and you need to come in agreement so God can change Detroit and make it the capital of Vermont. So prayer Prayer is not for you to get God to change his universe based on your decisions. That's why Jesus can pray the way he prayed in that sixth chapter of Matthew. Because he was trying to, his whole purpose of that prayer was to line his will up with the will of God. So our will is strengthened by taking on the yoke of the word and learning of him. Go to John 5:39. I'm almost finished. That's why Satan, see, hearing instructions from God is just not good enough. Adam and Eve had instructions from God. Don't touch this tree. The reason why you have to take the yoke, you have to take the yoke of the word and learn of him is because when you begin to spend time with God, read the word, you're now accessing information from the inside. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're accessing information from an unseen place. Yes, sir. Because if you don't access information from an unseen place, you're going to access information from outside. Right. So you begin to access, if you access information outside, outside can't give you nothing but outside results. Only the inside, the unseen world, can give you results that can only manifest results that hadn't been seen yet. Are you seeing this? Well, I told you to turn to John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, Jesus talking, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Jesus is saying, stay there long enough. Stay there consistently. Enough until your will becomes strengthened. So that when it's time to make decisions, you can make decisions without wondering, watch this, you can make decisions without wondering if you're making the right decisions. Why I can make decisions after consistently spending time with the Word, why can I make decisions not wonder if I made the right decision? Because when I spend time with the Word of God, God is talking to me. When God is talking to me, there's a confidence that's born that can't come from anywhere else. There is a confidence that comes when the Holy Spirit is talking to you that nobody else can give to you. When you let the Holy Spirit talk to you, you're letting the very mind of God invade your mind. Who else knows what God is thinking besides the Holy Spirit? That's 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. When you spend time with God and you stay there long enough, you give the Holy Spirit a chance to begin to speak to you. When you give the Holy Spirit a chance to begin to speak to you, your will becomes strengthened and it becomes more aligned with what God wants. You cannot get the mind of God if you don't spend time with him. See, and what I mean by spend time with God, I'm not talking about routine. I'm not talking about routine. I'm talking about God can interrupt you at any time. God can come talk to you at any time. God can speak to me at any moment. God can come and talk to me, and whatever I'm doing, I'm stopping. Not because God talking. Whatever God got to say is more important than what I'm. Because nothing will change from information on the outside. Because it's already existing. Things only change what comes from the inside. So by Spending time with God, it gives my will a chance to be strengthened so that when it's time for me to make decisions, I'm not second guessing myself. I'm not wondering. I'm not wavering. Go to last scripture. Go to James. James 1. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What this scripture is saying is you cannot come to God and ask God for what he thinks and you hadn't been spending time with him already. Because if you come to God and ask him, and you haven't been spending time with him, and you come to God and ask him, what should I do? When if he do give you the answer, it still got to go through your will. So if you, watch this, so watch this. If you just because you ask, don't mean you're asking in faith. If you don't ask in faith, you got to be, nothing wavering. God, I'm coming to you because I know when you speak to me, this is what I'm going to do. God, I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking you for direction. But let him ask in faith, nothing waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That's outside circumstances. Verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man, a man with two wills. A man with two wills is unstable in all his ways. So when I spend time with the Word of God, I'm no longer double-minded. Because whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. I spend so much time with God, I become fully persuaded that whenever he speaks to me, if I'm going to do it. It's God, now, when do you want me to do it? And God, how do you want me to do it? Because I'm here on this earth to be an expression of God. I'm not here to just pass through this land as best as I can. Come on. No, I'm here because I'm to express the very living God through me. I can't express what I don't know. I can't express who I don't spend time with. I can't, God can't flow through somebody who blocking him up. Every time he talked to you, should I do God? I don't know if I really want to do that. Oh, God, but I do want this, God. God, I do need you to do this for me, God. God, I want this to happen for me, God. I need you to do this in my life. But then God say, well, I need you to do this. God, me? God, you chose the wrong person. Just because, watch this. Jeremiah 29:11 said earlier, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God is not changing his mind about you. God is not changing his mind about you. So just because you're unprepared when he comes don't mean he's changing his mind. Get prepared. Because he's coming back. Get prepared because he's coming back. There's with God, there's no one and done. With God, it's not one and done. With God is, I'm going to stay here till you get it done. Ask Jonah. I'm going to stay with you till you decide to line your will up with mine. I'm not causing the hell, but I go through it with you. I go through it with you till you decide, okay, God. He did say he'll never leave us. Stand to your feet.